I don't know if this is true for every family, but certainly it's true of most families, and it's true of our family. We have a tradition keeper in our family. Do you all have tradition keepers in your family? Yeah, tradition keeper is the one who makes sure that things go according to plan. When I was being raised as a youngster in Dallas, Texas, my mom was the tradition keeper in our family. She would make sure that the presents were wrapped, and she'd buy the food and have everything ready for us. And so when it came time to celebrate Christmas, everything was ready, and she had done most of the work. Dad was always available to help, but it seemed like she was always the one who ended up doing most of the work. And some of you can relate to that as well. In our family, the tradition was pretty consistent. And if you're under 18, you should know this. And that is that not everybody has the same Christmas traditions. And if you don't know that, when you get married, you'll discover it, and it'll be a source of difficulty for you. So I'm telling you now to give you an advancement so you know about that. But in our family growing up, we would always start out with opening our stockings, first thing. I guess it gave Mom and Dad a chance to sleep in a little bit, but my sister and I would run down and we'd open our stockings. And then after a little while, Mom and Dad would come down and fix breakfast, and we'd have a nice breakfast. And then we would be ready to open presents. But before we opened presents, the one tradition that my father had a part of was he always had us read the Christmas story from the Bible. Now, over the years, that tradition changed a little bit. It used to be that my dad would always read the story, but as time went on and as we grew up as kids, we would have opportunities to read the story. And then one day, as we were reading the story, my sister, being the inquisitive person that she was, said, "I have a question, Daddy." And she started another tradition in our family, which was to always talk about the Christmas story. So from that day to this, we've carried that tradition from my growing up to our family today. And we always read the Christmas story. Sometimes it's from Luke, occasionally from Matthew, but always somebody reads it. And then we just talk about it. Because if you've never really thought about it, the Christmas story has so much to talk about. If you read the Luke's gospel, it is really something to think about. As you read through the second chapter, we had the first part of that chapter read to us tonight. But you find that in those verses, there are words like amazed and ponder and wonder. And it's consistent throughout that chapter that describes Jesus as a baby and a little boy. For example, he is described as all who heard it were amazed. That's the story of the angels. And then Mary treasured these things, and she pondered them in her heart. The child's mother and father marveled when they heard what was said about him. Everyone who heard Jesus was amazed, and his parents were astonished. And eventually, Mary treasured all these things. In one chapter, all these words are put together to help us think about Jesus. And I just want to kind of tell you in a quick story form how this worked. Because as you already heard the story of the angels coming to the shepherds and the shepherds telling the good news, it says that all the people who heard what the shepherds had to say, they were amazed at what the shepherds said. This news about this little baby being the one who would bring peace on earth and goodwill to those with whom God was pleased. People thought, how can that be? Is this really true? And they were amazed by that. Well, after Jesus was born, when he was 8 days old, his parents took him to the temple, and he was circumcised there and given his name Jesus. And about a month and a half after that, Jesus went back to the temple with his parents. His mother was purified, as the law required, and they presented Jesus as the firstborn in the temple. And there in the temple were two people, an elderly man and an elderly woman. The man was a man by the name of Simeon, and the woman was a prophetess named Anna. And as God wanted to impress upon Mary and Joseph and perhaps all who were there, he directed Simeon to this little baby and this old man who was looking for the Messiah and longing to see the Messiah, saw this little baby, and he said, at last, he has come. And he is going to be the salvation of our people, the Jews, and he's going to be a revelation to the Gentiles. And as he looked at this little baby, Simeon recognized that this baby was the salvation of everyone, Jews and Gentiles. To that point, nobody ever thought that this Messiah was a Messiah for non-Jews as well as Jews. Anna came up and she basically said the same thing. Two older folks who were longing to see God work got to see him work. And what the Bible says is when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated, They marveled at what was said about it. Can you imagine being Mary and being Joseph and hearing things like that said about your son? And Simeon went on to say that this son of yours that brings you so much joy is also going to be a source of great pain. He will bring a sword to you. That wasn't exactly what she expected. But she was amazed. She marveled at that news. Well, as the story progresses, after Jesus had been dedicated, we don't really know how the stories of Matthew's account of the wise men fit exactly with the story in Luke of Jesus' birth and what I've just told you about his dedication at the temple. But many scholars believe that Mary and Joseph and Jesus went back to Nazareth at that point. And then they later moved back to Bethlehem. And that's when they moved back to Bethlehem, they were no longer in a stable. As you know, if you read through Matthew's account, they were in a house. And that was when the Magi came to visit Jesus. But in that whole story, Jesus grew up. As you remember that story, he had to flee with his parents to Egypt because Herod wanted to see this rival king dead. And when they came back, he and his parents, it says, wanted to go to Judea, probably to Bethlehem, but they didn't think it was safe, so they went back up to Nazareth. So the next part, the last part of this chapter in Luke, Jesus has been in Nazareth for basically the last probably 10 years of his life. He is now 12 years old, and his parents, being the devout people they were, regularly went to Passover. And they came to the temple to go to Passover, and as they were there, they came not just by themselves with Jesus, but they came with a whole entourage from Nazareth, an extended family. And when the feast was over, they all headed home, and they were a day down the road on this 3-day journey. And Joseph looked over and said, Mary, where's Jesus? And Mary looked at Joseph and said, I thought you knew where he was. And you know how it is when you have children and one of you thinks one of you is responsible and the other one thinks the other is responsible. Anyway, they realized they had to go back to Jerusalem. I don't think they were panicked because Jesus was no longer a toddler, but they were concerned. Their son was somewhere lost in Jerusalem. So as they tried to find Jesus, tried to figure out where he was, they looked all over, and finally someone said, maybe we should go to the temple and see if he's there. And sure enough, Jesus was in the temple. And he was sitting there talking to the religious leaders, the priests and the scribes, the teachers of the law. And what Luke records is this 12-year-old boy was asking them questions. And he was interacting with them. And it says of them, as they listened, they said they were amazed at Jesus' understanding. Can you imagine a 12-year-old who kept religious leaders spellbound by his questions? I mean, I wonder, what kind of questions did Jesus ask them? What did he know that maybe they didn't know? What did he want to know that they had no clue of? Luke doesn't tell us. He just says they were amazed. And when Mary and Joseph show up and they see Jesus surrounded by all these curious and astounded religious leaders, it says his parents were astonished. This little baby, this boy who's growing up, amazes and astonishes and surprises people. It's hard for us to recognize it, but for the people in Jesus' day, certainly for Mary and for Joseph, to think of their little baby, the one that they wrapped in swaddling clothes, to think that he was God, it was astonishing to even think about that. But immediately after this, Mary, being the Jewish mother that she was, said, "Son, don't you know that your father and I were worried sick about you?" It's interesting, Jesus' response. He says, "Didn't you know I'd have to be in my father's house?" It's almost as if Jesus rebukes his mother. How do you think she felt? What do you think she thought? Luke tells us that she didn't understand. And you can understand why she wouldn't understand. You see, for the early Christians, and I think for many Christians today, they had a hard time contemplating that, that God could become a human being. In fact, they had all kinds of different theories how God didn't really become a human being. He just seemed to become a human being. And it's not something to talk about tonight. But it wasn't until the 4th century at a church council that it was decided, yes, God, Jesus was man and he was God. For the church, for the theologians, to think that Jesus was God was the hard part. To think that he was a human was the hard part. But for Mary and Joseph, to think that their little boy was God, it staggered their imagination. That's why that song is an interesting song. Can you imagine Mary thinking that this little baby that she delivered was the deliverer? Can you think about Jesus as a child who had to go to school, and he was the Alpha and the Omega, and he had to learn the ABCs? He was the beginning and the end, and he had to learn how to count. He was love itself, and his parents had to teach him manners. How does that work? It's hard to get our arms and our heads around this amazing Savior. But he was truly human and truly God. The Bible says it. It's just hard for us to come to grips with it. But it had to be. For him to understand what our life was like, he had to experience it as a human being. For him to die for us, he had to be a human being. But for his death to be something different than anybody else's death, it had to be a death that only God could provide. I don't pretend to tell you that I understand it. I simply say, it's pretty amazing. And this simple story that we celebrate year after year and that we'll celebrate together as families is an amazing story. Astonishing, really. I hope that perhaps some of you who have never really considered who this baby is will realize that for Christmas to mean anything, it has to mean much more than just the sentimentalities of a baby born on a cold winter's night. He came to his own, John says, and his own didn't receive him, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came to offer himself for us and to offer God to us as a gift by dying on a cross for our sins. And it is that ultimate act in his life that gives meaning and purpose to this celebration tonight. But I hope that if you don't have a tradition of reading the Christmas story, that maybe this year you'll consider starting that tradition. And I hope that when you do, you'll be willing to just ask a few questions. Who was this child? Who is this Savior? We don't fully understand it. We can't totally explain it. In our family traditions, my dad, as much as he knew, got stumped on occasion when we would ask him questions. But that's okay. It's obvious as you read through the story of Jesus that Mary and Joseph were left with plenty to ponder. And I think we have plenty to think about as well. Would you bow with me? Lord, on this wonderful occasion that we celebrate, we thank you that you are so great that we can't even fully comprehend our Savior. But we don't have to fully comprehend him. We just have to trust you and to trust him and to accept his gift to us. So Lord, as we give our gifts this Christmas season, help us to think about the great gift you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.